Welcome to the Addiction Solution Podcast. I'm Michelle Dunbar. Enjoy listening and watching as addiction experts Mark Sheeran and I cover controversial as well as helpful topics on addiction, how to move past it, and other related subjects. As two of the co-founders of the Freedom Model, Mark and I will give you a completely new perspective on the topics that matter to you. We will take to task the Recovery Society's lies and misinformation and replace them with facts, research, and the methods to move on from addiction struggles without 12-step meetings, rehabs, and the shackles of endless recovery. Let's escape the treatment and recovery trap together and learn to be free. Welcome to the truth. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Addiction Solution. I'm Michelle Dunbar.
And I'm Mark Sheeran. And we co-wrote The Freedom Model for Addictions, Escape the Treatment and Recovery Trap with our colleague, Stephen Slate.
And you'll notice we have headphones on because we have a very special guest today, one of our new certified coaches, Stacy Isidro, is here to talk with us, and we want you to meet her.
Hey.
Hi there.
Hi. Hey.
So I can I just ask a quick question?
Yeah, for sure.
So how the hell did you find the Freedom Model? I never heard how that happened with you.
Oh, yeah.
I deep dive on stuff. And it may have been podcasts and the book.
Right.
And I was, listening to the book because I was in the recovery world and starting to come out of that. Yeah. And I was actually starting to do a lot of podcasts on sex and recovery culture. Yeah. And how that's a huge issue for people. So I started speaking on sex and sobriety, for lack of better terms. Yeah. So yeah, things would come up in my feed and I'd start deep diving and
Was that at the time when we were getting into the PMO fetish, helping people with the PMO, or was it substance use that because you're in that world dealing with sexuality, right? As a coach in that arena. So was it the PMO thing or was it our substance use stuff that you found first?
So I found substance use stuff first.
That's interesting.
And so, from my own benefit, like looking for different options and things for myself. And it was coming up in my work. Mm. And I would get really pissed off and tell them that that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. And I just didn't feel like I had a lot of compassion for it. I'm like, you're not going to die, if you don't jerk off. Like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, so what if you like TS porn? Who cares? And they're like, really? I'm like, yeah. And so then I did start doing some deep dives, but there wasn't the PMO thing. There was only like, I don't know, some very medical view. It's hijacking your brain. You're being taken over. Your brain is fucked. And so then I started doing interviews with people and realized, holy smokes, people, like, this is a huge issue. Lost their marriage, their home, they're going bankrupt. They're spending this, all of these things. And so then I came back and had a little more compassion and was like, I can understand how this would seem this way, but I've always had the question mark around addiction, period. Yeah. So then finding the Freedom Model connected a lot of dots for me. And then you came out with the PMO.
Right. Okay.
Yep.
So that's, and you can jump in at any point.
Go ahead.
Okay. So why don't you tell our viewers and people that are listening a little bit about yourself and how you got involved in this whole, sort of sex coaching thing. And because it's such an interesting topic, it's a topic. So let me back up a little bit. So I've, and Michelle and all our coaches through the years have had to deal with that topic, which is very initially uncomfortable, right? Because it's not like there's a tremendous amount of training or exposure about helping people with sexuality. There's a lot of weird stuff out there that I don't think is very helpful. I think that that exists and that they take advantage of people. I think that exists, but it was a strange cat for us. So we were helping people with substance use problems, but inevitably we would end up talking about sexual issues, right? And fetishes and proclivities. And so that was something that was a staple of ours for years and years and years, but we never advertised about it. It just was a side thing. And then the Freedom Model landed in these Reddit PMO groups where people were questioning whether they were biohacked by the porn industry, that they were powerless and all of that. And that cast us into having to address and write a book about it, which is what I did. And taking all the experiences of everything we had learned through the years and then applying Freedom Model principles and research to that. And that changed the game. It took off like a rocket. So that's how we got into this arena. It wasn't something we were really that interested in, but it became a desperate need of guys predominantly. Ages,
young men.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of them adolescents that we can't work with because they're minors, but all the way up through to, I'd say, about most of them around their 40s. And they are suicidal and miserable and
impotent. They're making themselves impotent. I mean, 20-year-olds.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's super sad. So anyway, we became very effective at helping them. So that's our road and it's fairly recent. And so here you jump in, you know, get trained. And so how did you get involved in this? What's your story?
So for me, I was a licensed cosmetologist by the time I graduated high school when I was 17. And I've been working in salons since I was 15. So being young and in a profession, I quickly realized that it really doesn't matter how good a haircut I could do or how good a color, if I couldn't deal with people coming in and their issues and, you know, hold space for them, then it didn't matter. And so I got really into, they do all these trainings with us. And there was a few educators that really made an impact in my journey that were in that kind of coaching, motivation, personal development stuff. So I did a lot of trainings around business, life coaching, salon, beauty industry management, leadership. And then I was like, wow, this is really great. You know, I'm in fast forward leadership in the salon. We open multiple locations, all the things. And I was like, I want to do this certification on the coaching. So I did that. And then at the end, they're like, okay, you're going to like, find your niche and blah, blah, blah. But this one was like a whole process. It's find the threads in your life. Interview people about you. What do you like? What do you do? What do people say about blah, 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 blah. So my threads that I came back with were spirituality and sexuality. Then I was like, whoa, oh my God, I'm a sex coach, you know, full hair toss, you know, bam. And they're all looking at me. I'm like the youngest in the class. I'm like in my, you know, 20s. And they're like, yes, you are. And that's not one of the options here. And that's great. We love this, you know. We'll put you in the life category and relationships. And I'm like, perfect. So it was just something that I was always comfortable with and interested in. Yeah. And, you know, I'm really grateful to my parents and family and my upbringing because I feel like I didn't get a lot of that heavy guilt, shame stuff. And I was allowed to explore different religions and thought processes. And my dad loves to read. you know? Yeah. So he's always talking about something interesting and making us go to the library as on the Sunday as a kid and being pissed off and looking up something like esoteric, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, my thread's all, you know, astrology, tarot cards, and my clients in the salon are very interesting, I tell you. So yeah, it was just kind of a natural thing. And then realizing, okay, well, what is sex coaching? That was a whole nother situation. So then I found sex coaching school and did a certification with Dr. Patty Britton. And she gives you, it's a whole sexology background. And then they do go into the coaching, but from a sex perspective, and because it's sex, there's a lot of misinformation. And yeah. So part of sex coaching is sex education and getting people resources that are non-judgmental and unbiased and factually based, not something that someone twisted to, you know, get people to conform. And so, excuse me, that was huge.
That is
so
huge.
That's kind of where it led me to the sex coaching. And then, you know, from there, you could branch off and go into medicalization and do therapist, doctor, full on, you know, medicalization. And for me, I'm more spiritual tantra vibe. And I think there is a time and a place for medicalization that's needed. We have a physical body. And I think that a lot of this stuff is not medical. I think it's more in our head and our beliefs. Yeah. And so people started coming to me with these issues. And so, yeah, that's kind of how it turned into helping people. And then, you know, with the sexuality, PMO stuff, and just sexuality and relationships in general. And then having my own experience with substance use and recovery culture and society, I felt like that in retrospect, looking back, I'm glad everything is what it is. You know, it's for a reason. It's who I am today. And like, that shit fucked me up. You know, I'll cry about it sometimes even now, because I'm like, believing in all of that and taking this long to get through something, and how many people get stuck in this, like you said, trap and belief system that just beats them down. Yes. It's so sad. And so, yeah, I want people to know that like, that's not a thing. And right. People, I feel like they have the right to choose what pathway is best for them, whatever that is. You know, as long as you're not harming others. But so yeah, things have kind of interestingly kind of started meshing and evolving over time.
That's really cool. So
I was gonna say there's so much. That was the one thing we realized. Like, all these years that we were working with people with substance use problems, like the whole sexual side of it. There's always crossover, right? Because it's all belief-based. Substance use is belief-based. Sex is largely belief-based. And because our minds run the show. And so it like when we started doing the research for the PMO stuff, it was just kind of this natural, like, oh yeah, of course this stuff goes together. Like it made so much sense. And when we saw the damage of, in some respects, the medicalization of all of this, the moral side, the medical side, or maybe I want to say brain-centered side of things, especially with PMO and the information these young people were getting and how it manifested physically for them. I was like, holy shit. To me, that's like a smoking gun, so to speak. Like, it shows this is the massive power of your mind. And so it's not a huge stretch at that point to think that the whole addiction thing with substances is the same thing. It's like, yeah. You know, so that's what I was thinking when you were talking, is there's this natural way. So if you have both sides of it, like, which you do, that is to be able to help people. So many people with substance use issues have the other issue as well. And that it's, but they never, like when we were working with them before we talked about PMO, like before people knew we were working with people with sexual issues, they wouldn't even mention it a lot of times. Yeah. I mean, we would learn about it when they come to the retreat because it was out there in the open, you know, like we would learn about it and the ways they were acting out. But with, when we were doing it online with people, they wouldn't talk about it. And now almost everybody does.
Yeah.
Right. Almost everybody does. So I was so excited when you were going to become a coach because you already had that background and that certification on that side of things. And I think that's tremendous. I really do.
Yeah. And I'm glad you pointed to a couple things there too. You can't desexualize a human being.
Right.
Sexuality is part of being a human being. So when we try to like block it out, it's going to wreak havoc. Like it's an integration that needs to occur. And so, yeah, it's a natural integration and part of maturity as a human being. Like it's a process that we go through as humans. And, you know, yes, there's a lot of people that, have issues around sexual trauma, or different acting out things. And what you're pointing to, that brain centered, that, oh wow, that really ropes people in, because that was one of my things. Oh my gosh, you know, like, is my brain messed up? What's, you know, did something happen to me? And they're like, oh, something happened to you. I'm like, I don't think anything happened to me. Well, there had to be something. And I'm like, I thought I just liked it. That was it. No, that means you hate yourself and you're trying to kill yourself. And I'm like, oh my God, you mean this? I'm so crazy that I'm killing myself without even knowing that I'm, it was just so like confusing.
Sure.
And you know, that stuff can be very confusing to tease out. And I think that there is a space for people to seek therapy when there is a big deal trauma and they do need to become present. That is a thing.
Yep.
And there's also something about moving on.
Yeah.
And I think with this brain center, you're stuck, you're broken because of what somebody did, you know, out of your control, that, that's too much. We can't use that as an excuse for the rest of our lives to X, Y, Z. And it is a thing. I'm not discounting, because everyone has gone through things. And at some point, I feel like let's address this and move forward, because staying in that past is not helpful, I found.
Yeah. So you have an interesting thing that you were just saying about your experience, and that is, you were starting from a very non-judgmental family, because I'm picking up on pieces, and I know your story a little bit better now that we know each other. But when you start from areas of your life that are fairly non-judgmental and open-minded when you're young, and you experience life in that mindset, it's a super healthy one, right? And then you run into things in life that, I call it like when a meteor lands in your lap, the shit that just happens, right? And it does confuse you, or it fucks you up for a little while, right? Maybe some trauma, maybe you just go on a side path with drugs or sex, whatever it might be. And then you get caught up in that first little hook of the recovery society. Oh, you're broken. Oh, it's a brain chemistry problem. It's a progressive illness. It's this, it's that. Diagnoses, labels. You said something that I think I want all of yours to, even if you have to rewind it, where you said, oh, I don't think I'm broken. I thought I just liked it. And God, the wisdom of that is actually the freedom model in a nutshell. When we get people, I always tell people, if you think it's hard to get over a sex problem, whatever that problem is, we don't even know if it's a problem, but over a sex problem, over a drug problem, whatever it might be, whatever the fetish is, you know you're truly over it when you know it's not a big deal. And anything that says it's a big deal is the problem. right? The bigger the deal, the more complex it is and more confusing it is.
And that's not to say that that the problems
you're
experiencing in your life
are
not.
The consequences can be terrible,
right? That's not to say it. But the problem itself, when you like blow it up to be this thing where what I was thinking was, is, and we've done this with so many people, you're searching. Like when you start to be told yeah. that there's something going broken
yeah, she
going
said that
down
too.
In your brain, right? So then you start thinking, what is it? Like you start searching for these things. And, you know, there was a period of time when I was in college doing my undergrad work in the 90s, there was all of this stuff about repressed memories. Oh. Right. And then there was a social yes. contagion and all of a sudden everybody was remembering, oh, I was molested or I was this or I was that, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, what was playing doctor with your next door neighbor when you were 6 years old became, oh, my 7-year-old neighbor molested me.
Right. Raped me. Right. Yeah.
And so I should feel traumatized by that when, yeah, no, you weren't. You weren't feeling traumatized a little while ago. Somebody told you that you should be feel traumatized from it. So again, I'm for all those people out there, like I was genuinely, I'm not talking about you.
Right. We're not talking about being raped.
About being raped yeah. for real. And although that's more common than people might think too, especially if you were a young woman in college in the 80s. But then you start looking. Once you start going down that path of looking for reasons why you think you're broken, boy, that's a yeah. bad path.
Yeah. If you're looking for reasons, it means you're in a state of not being broken.
Right. And it means that you will find one and yeah. you will start vilifying people in your life and isolating yourself. And then now who am I hanging out with? All these people that are saying they're broken too. And all, you know, so then who are you left with after a while? Except for yourself, you know?
That's right. That's right. And then here's what's really sad too. And I'm sure you deal with this with your students. When you have somebody cry fire in a theater and there's no fire, if you cry fire enough,
yeah.
People die. And my point is that because everything is rape, because everything is molestation, because everything is a trauma, everything is PTSD, everything is, and add the label, the people who genuinely, like myself, that experienced wicked trauma, it took me to be in my 40s talking to my wife before I was like, I think I was abused. And she was like, are you fucking serious? Yeah, you were abused. Like, I was like, I didn't know.
Because you didn't have anything to compare to.
I had nothing.
It was my life.
Yeah, it was. But I was dealing with some things as I got older where I was like, why am I behaving like this? And she said, because you had a really fucked up childhood, like really, really fucked up. But I was so used to downplaying the fake shit with my students and mining out where they were being victimized. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you must deal with that too.
Yeah. And like I said, I definitely think that there is a lot of legitimate stuff that needs to be addressed in that way with a therapist and different modalities. And so that way people can move forward. And I think as long as those modalities aren't telling you that you're going to stay sick forever. I feel like if it's helping you move forward, you know, but something that's trying to keep you sick, I find myself questioning.
That's a huge, great point.
Yeah.
A lot of this, you know, the moralization and pathologization, big word.
Yeah.
That it's like, oh, let's pathologize this. And because, you know, you should be ashamed of this. So now you have a disorder and we're going to work to get it in the DSM-5. And it's like, really, you know,
yeah. Yeah.
It's like, not everything is, you know, diagnosable. Like most people just like things for a while. And like the Freedom Model says, they will naturally move on. You'll find something else. But when they start like, ooh, now there's a taboo involved, that makes it even better, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why I love when you use the word fetish and what was the other one? Fetish, and you just said it. But it essentially it means like when I was, you know, in sex coaching land, it's this is required to achieve sexual gratification, and it's not necessarily a human. It's right. either a part or inanimate thing. Yes. But yes. that whole definition of fetish in general is great.
Yeah.
It kind of is broad. And it speaks to a lot of things. And I just kind of like the word because of the sexual thing. But
well, it's funny you say it because...
Well, it's like my cigarette is a fetish, you know, the beer is a fetish, and my cloak is a fetish, you know, it's a fetish object.
Yeah, yes. And I was just going to say that having a drinking problem is just, it's fetishizing, right? It's taking, fetish is, by the way, in the definition is bringing life into an inanimate, a lifeless object, right? So whether it's the screen for porn, right? Those aren't real people. They're pixels, right? I always say that they're pixels that you're giving meaning to. You're providing life. Now, they're images of life, but they're not the actual thing, right? And when we say that alcohol helps me loosen up emotionally, well, no, it doesn't. It's but you're giving it that life. You're giving it permission and meaning and lifelike qualities that it's your friend. I actually have people say, look at my wine as my friend.
Yeah.
I go, is it really? Like, really? Let's get down and dirty here. How is it your friend? And then they're like, oh, fuck, I don't know. That doesn't make sense, does it?
But I know. I remember feeling like having those moments when I would be all by myself, and I could be super like feeling happy, or I could be feeling really down, and I would like get my, you know, my soda and get my whiskey, and it was a thing. It was like, I had this relationship.
Yes. That's fetishizing.
Yeah.
That's exactly fetishizing. That's it, exactly.
And it's a ritual. You point to that a lot in the freedom model. It's a ritual that is actually really helpful too.
You give it meaning.
You give it meaning. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, I just want to say that we're excited to have you on board.
Yes, we are.
And I think you have insights into things that are really cool.
Yeah.
And for the people out there who may not have any sexual hangups or whatever, maybe you have a really great sex life. I think it's hard for people to understand people that do struggle in that arena. So I want to say that to the viewers out there that you may not understand what we're talking about. But there's a lot of people out there who don't have a good sex life. They don't have a good marriage. They don't have good relationships, and they're struggling horribly and deeply and emotionally. It can be incredibly painful for these people. So these services are important. And for those of you out there, we obviously recommend Stacy as a coach. So how can they find you besides the Freedom Model Directory?
Yeah, my website, Holistic Progressions. I always offer people a complimentary 15-minute call. So check out the website, and then you usually have more questions. So that's what that call is for. Okay, this is what I'm looking for. How can I get this help? Or maybe it's literally just there's a resource available. And my thing is, if I am not the one to help you, I will direct you in a way. I'll give you, you know, point you in a direction. So that is a thing. And, you know, it's sexuality doesn't necessarily have to be a problem. Mm-hmm. I think over time, and especially sex and aging, sex and different abilities or disabilities, people have accidents. these are huge topics that this is very applicable to.
Yeah.
So when we're looking at sexuality as a whole, you're going to get to a place in your life where even if you like what you're doing, you're going to want something different and you're not going to be sure exactly what that is. That's what this is helpful for. And you know, oh, I wish I could be like I was in my 20s. Well, it's not going to be like you are in your 20s. It's different now. So let's talk about what other options are available to you to experience pleasure and satisfaction, human touch, connection in your life, that it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, genital contact, you know, ejaculations, your kind of cultural dominant, you know, norm of porn. So what else is there? So yes, this is great and a nice time. And what else?
Yeah.
So you don't even have to have like a, oh, it's such a problem. It's just, you're still going through changing your beliefs about something because we're going from, oh, this is only genital focused arousal and action to no, this is a full body experience. Mm-hmm. So we need to change some of the beliefs around sexuality and intimacy and relationships in order for you to actually get what you want. And so I just feel like this, it ties into everything.
It sure does.
It really does. And one of the things I want the viewers to know too is as a certified freedom model coach, she also has access to all the workshops, the PMO book, all the online programs. So she's licensed to offer those as well. So anything you would get at the freedom model, Stacy now has a license to be able to provide in her coaching sessions as well.
And she's trained to help people with, you know, who are struggling with substances as well. And I think over the last several years of me doing coaching with Zoom, a lot of the women that I've worked with are in marriages that are struggling with intimacy and their choice of dealing with that is usually alcohol or maybe benzodiazepines. And so when these things are married, this is a really great option for them to be able to kind of kill two birds, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I want to expand on that a little bit because what you said, Michelle, is so important. I have been seeing couples the last few years, that one of the, you know, parties has formed some type of relationship with either AI, porn, chat stuff. Maybe there is a person on that. So all of these things. So now they're coming clean and, or caught or whatever. Oh, look, this is a thing. And the only option they have is to be told that they're an addict. And so the partner is like, you have to do these things. And you need to admit these things. And it makes the other person so much more shameful and full of guilt and like self-loathing that you put them in a constant state of repair that you could never repair that relationship. You will never get over that. If you believe in that, the belief and addiction around that and your partner has an issue, that is it. That, oh my gosh, I see
That's
a lot
huge.
Of that. It's reframing from the partner too, in addition to the person going through it, because they're saying, hey, I want to make this relationship work and I'm letting this go. And I know this caused harm and we need to go through repair and move forward, not keep them in a under your thumb for the rest of the relationship. I mean, you can play that game kinky. You know, and that's really fun, but do it consciously and kinky. Don't do it as this passive aggressive and belief system we've been indoctrinated into when you can save your marriage and your relationship if you want to.
Well,
or change it, whatever.
Yeah, and it does take, that's why we did the family program, and that's why the coaching packages include that, right? And that is for the family to under, or the loved one to understand, because the loved one is full of such misinformation too, because they're thinking, oh, he's addicted to porn. He can never watch porn because he's addicted. And it means he doesn't want me. And it means, you know, like they have all of this misinformation. And so it requires challenging beliefs, just like the challenging mm-hmm. beliefs and understanding, you know, why this person might choose this. And that doesn't, it's not an either or thing, and understanding that this person can change their beliefs and then you can change your beliefs and you can come back together if you both are working towards the same goals.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
That's great thing. Stuff. It's so exciting. I'm so excited.
All right. Well, I think we covered enough ground, and I hope that people give Stacy a call. And
and I'm gonna below this on our YouTube channel. We will, and probably also wherever else it is, Spotify and everything place else, we'll have the link to Stacy's website. And also you can find Stacy at thefreedommodel.org under our coaches directory.
Yep. All right, yay. Everybody.
Do you have any parting words?
Oh, celebrations and gratitude. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
All right. Stay with us. All right. If anybody, wants to become a certified coach themselves, go to thefreedommodel.org certification, or through our app. You can download our free mobile app. You can see a video where we talk about how you can become certified.
That's right.
So, all right. Thank you so much.
Take care, everybody.